Good day and welcome to the Daily Friend Show, your Monday edition of the show. Oh my goodness, is it not good to be back? Thank you. A word of thanks to our colleague Nicholas Lorimer, who has been holding the fort down for the last week. Excellent stuff that I was hearing on the show. Guys, again, welcome to the Monday edition of the Daily Friend, all your news, analysis and opinion, and what you need to know in this news cycle and this news week. I'm not alone. As usual, I'm joined in the studio by my very capable colleagues. Starting off with the evergreen chief economist at the IRR, Mr. Ian Cruickshanks. Ian, hello, hello.
Hi, good to be with you, Sikli. Thank you, and I enjoy being called evergreen. That sounds like ever young. I know it's a long way from that.
Fantastic to have you with us. And, of course, the man himself, Nicholas Lorimer. Brother man, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well on yourself, Sikli.
I'm good. And let's perhaps jump straight into it. Nicholas, I want to begin with you because, you know, there's some stuff I think we just wanted to chat about and get off our chest. First things first, what do you have for us today?
Well, one of the things that's been concerning me recently is truck burning and xenophobia. So there's been an ongoing burning of trucks, particularly in KZN recently, allegedly in protest against foreign nationals driving trucks instead of South Africans. Although a lot of it has often taken a sort of a looting bent where a truck is carrying goods is stopped, burned, but before it's completely burned, it's looted of all the stuff it's carrying. The police have been pretty ineffective in controlling this. There have been about 20 arrests, I believe, was the latest story on Times Live about this. However, on this morning, there have been a couple of incidents, and it looks like this problem is not really going away. The news outlets are reporting that it does seem to also have a very xenophobic bent to it, that especially truck drivers who are foreign are being targeted. And in some cases, some of the truck drivers have been killed. It's not just that property has been damaged.
Sorry, I just wanted to quickly jump in there because obviously, you know, I was on the road last week and, you know, Durban is where I predominantly was and I was traveling on the N3. You know, as you pass the Moy River Plaza, for example, the toll gate over there, you actually still see burnt remnants or scarring on the road of where they were being burning some of these trucks. And you stop for a moment, you know, to talk to some of the guys who sell stuff along the road and say, hey, what's going on? You know, why is this happening around here? And there's a very weird sort of hushed tones that you get, which to me always point to there being some sort of gang or some sort of grouping that's organized and that people are very afraid of. Do the police have a handle on this issue?
Not at all. As far as we can see, their arrests so far have been fairly ineffective. Some of the stories I'd read about this show that the police only showed up a couple of days after the event to look for stolen goods, which they then confiscated, but with very few arrests. And it hasn't really slowed at all. I mean, the police have been pretty bad at controlling public violence generally in South Africa, but this seems to be another level of disorder.
Ian, logistics, getting stuff around, moving goods, people, services around in any economy is the lifeblood of an economy. It's the lifeblood of a society. In a country like South Africa, which is very integrated to its neighboring regions and the sort of neighboring block, you know, Zimbabwe, blah, 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 we really can't afford to be burning trucks, the very stuff that gets the goods around, can we?
Absolutely not, because that, after all, is the foundation, the whole motive force for our import-export industries. And you say, well, imports? Yes, we've got to have the imports to use in manufacturing to make goods which we can then re-export. And there's quite a lot of happens in sectors such as the motor industry. And by the way, we're getting the motor industry sales for August coming out sometime today. And it's expected that there may be another drop and we'll see that number declining. Does it matter? Yes, it does. The Reserve Bank always points to this number as an important factor in their overall business outlook. So we're waiting that with some trepidation, I may say.
And just before I come back to you, Nick, Ian, there's also another story here, which I'm going to open up. If you have trucks being burnt on a particular route, and it's not just there, but let's say predominantly on that N3 corridor between Durban and Johannesburg, Durban's not the only port in the region that can, you know, essentially what I'm trying to suggest here is that, you know, the competitiveness of a port like Durban becomes diminished if an investor thinks that the likelihood of their goods being burnt or pillaged or looted along the way are very high. Suddenly they can look at a port like, you know, in Mozambique and say, well, why not deliver the stuff through there?
Why buy the goods from South Africa anyway?
Yeah.
That really is the most important problem of all, I think. And, you know, we get some consideration because we are who we are, and I think that we're going to find that the very small advantage we have in pricing in industries like the motor industry, where there's a huge amount of government support, we're going to see that that is not enough to be able to hold this industry where exports are a very big part of total production.
Nick?
I think the main thing that we need to consider here, beyond just the economics, because of course the economics are vital, but is the problem of xenophobia. Xenophobic violence has been an ongoing thing for years now, and it doesn't seem to be going away. In fact, it might potentially be getting worse. This shows to us that there are groups within the country who seem to be relatively organized and powerful enough to evade the police, mm-hmm. who are carrying out attacks against foreigners. And the government's response to xenophobic violence in general has been very poor, and we're starting to see counter attacks now by foreigners, such as we had in the CBD that Gabriel and I talked about in July, I think. So what we need to do is probably get our borders under control so that people feel like they have control of borders and that there aren't just foreigners can't just come in whenever they want. And the other thing is to demonstrate to people that unemployment is not caused by foreign nationals,
That's
which is
right.
a very popular opinion amongst many South Africans. They believe that the main driver of unemployment is the fact that so many foreigners are working jobs. We need to show that actually the causes are to do with labor laws and structural issues to alleviate some of that, because otherwise this could turn very nasty.
And just to sort of jump on this point, because you're absolutely correct, Nicholas. You know, there was a video that was floating around on social media on Sunday or Saturday of foreign drivers, foreign national drivers in, I think they were either in Malawi or Zimbabwe, one of those countries, who'd gotten together and they were being recorded, basically issuing an ultimatum and a threat to say, what you're doing in South Africa, we will replicate in other parts of the region, so that we won't welcome, say, a South African driver who's trekking through Zimbabwe to get to Zambia, whatever the case may be, and we'll treat you in the exact same way as you treat us. The larger issue here is violence begets violence, yeah, absolutely, but the absolute absence of the rule of law and the enforcement of law and order, isn't it?
Yes, no, very much so. If the police were able to shut these down properly, we wouldn't have this problem developing and possibly getting worse. And the police have shown themselves to be very ineffective generally. I mean, we've also seen on the Cape Flats the inability to stop the gang violence. This is but one of the many problems that the South African police services had recently. One of the other things to consider about the xenophobic violence is that it hurts our relations within Africa.
That's right.
The Nigerian government has been very upset by our responses to xenophobia, and they feel that we haven't done enough. In fact, I believe the South African government has been criticized quite harshly by the Nigerian government for this sort of stuff.
Ian, maybe as a final point on this topic, I'm going to come to you, because it isn't more than a month ago that we were quite excited in the studio talking about the Africa Free Trade Agreement and how this is going to open up the doors to trade, open up the corridors of getting moving goods and skills and people around the continent. Yet, not more than a month later, we're now discussing how there are seemingly insidious and nefarious interest groups who are trying to, you know, disrupt the movement of goods and the like. The importance, Ian, of governments getting it right in terms of protecting property rights, like, for example, a truck and its goods, and enforcing the law. Is this important to an investor?
Absolutely all important. We are, a lot of our international trade is dependent on moving goods up and down that north-south corridor in Africa. If we can't do that, there's no point in producing the goods. There's no point in sending them to the border to start with. If we can't do that, we're going to find the trade account, followed by the current account, running into deficit. And if that happens to any significant degree, we're going to be in a cash flow crisis. And I think that is what is at risk of rapidly developing in this situation.
And Ian, let me stick with you, because Perhaps as the last segment of the show, let's look at some of the economic data sets that we can expect in the week. What can we expect, Ian?
First of all, the most important one is GDP, gross domestic product. What is GDP? That's the sum of all goods produced and services offered within a specific period. So what we're going to be looking at, first of all, what happened in the first quarter, where we actually saw it shrunk by 3.2%. That was the worst we had seen in decades. We're now looking at the second quarter. It's expected that it will show a marginally positive figure, but from a low base. We're looking at going from -3.2 to maybe +2.5. But take the two quarters together, you've got for the half year, all in all, significantly down. And that is what's going to go into the annualized GDP number, and that is what the ratings agencies look at to say whether we are worthwhile as an attractive investment destination or not. If that starts slowing, then we're in really serious trouble.
Nick, there's a broader conversation to be had here, and I think Ian brought it up. The idea of the ratings agencies, they are now paying very particular close attention to this government, and there almost is a bit of a knee-jerk panic coming out of government. I mean, recently we saw Tito Mboweni issue out a discussion document, because it isn't the policy document per se, that almost signals the right stuff, doesn't it?
Well, there's some good things in the policy. It has some good ideas. It attacks some holy cows that haven't been faced by government for a long time, such as labor laws. There's a little bit about, I think, empowerment policy. And it also has a lot of good ideas on privatization. That's some of its main stuff, and trade liberalization. Unfortunately, it doesn't quite go far enough to address a lot of the issues that affect the economy. For example, expropriation without compensation is not properly dealt with as an issue within that discussion paper. And those sort of fundamental threats to property rights need to be alleviated before we can have proper investment and proper economic growth.
Ian, let me come back to you and pose a similar question, but also, let me just pose a similar question. The rating agencies they're not playing around. They seem to be awake to the nonsense that's going on in the country and the policy uncertainty and really the sort of mess that we're in. What can we expect from Moody's? I know I'm asking you to forecast here, but really the chips are now sort of falling in place. What can we expect from Moody's?
Next national rating will only be in October-November period. So there's a little bit of time before that. But the fact that the data, the short-term data coming out, is mostly negative compared to a year ago, that is what counts. How do we do this year compared to how did we do a year ago? If that is seen to be continuing declining on a shrinking economy, we're going to find that we may have a lot of trouble accessing capital, and the cost of that capital is going to be more expensive. What will that mean to us? Means higher interest rates, higher cost of borrowing, less opportunity to conduct business in whatever area we're hoping to do in the short to medium term.
All right, fellas, thank you very much. But maybe as a final parting shot, I know I didn't brief you guys that I'll ask this ahead of time, but what should we be looking out for in the coming week? Briefly, between the two of you, 30 seconds, what should the listener be looking to read either in the Daily Friend or the sort of hot topics to look out for in the week?
Well, I think one of the things that's going to be important to watch is the responses of government to Tito Mboweni's analysis of the economy. We've seen already some hostility, but the key is what exactly Ramaphosa does in it. Now, so far he's been very kind of non-committal, as he usually is. But how that discussion develops will demonstrate the possibilities, what the environment is for reform right now and how possible it is to turn the ship around.
Ian?
Yes, I think what will be important to say going on this policy document is to say, what are the market's reaction? Well, tomorrow we will get on a daily basis, day-by-day basis, what happened to cash flows? What happened to the investment flows from foreign market, from foreign centers into our market? If we can see that there was a very negative knee-jerk reaction, that is something to watch out for. And if it's been positive, well, I don't think it is going to be positive. It's very unlikely. And I think that the comments have been from Europe and from America is you're doing nothing to improve the attractiveness of your country as a safe and sound and promising investment destination. We have to watch that carefully. Domestic data, first of all, the GDP, the Purchasing Managers Index will tell us how manufacturing is getting on. We're very concerned that it may have slipped back a little bit further, and that will be indicated by today's release of vehicle sales for last month. Always taken as a good indicator of activity, so there's quite a lot in that case as to whether we are heading towards recession or whether we can stay out of it by the skin of our teeth for a short while longer.
Fellas, thank you very much, as I said, guys, and thank you to the listener for joining us today. I think we've quite ably set out what we should be looking out for in the news agenda, and the tracking issue is one I think we'll look out for, and we'll write a lot more on the Daily Friend website. Remember, you can find all the news, analysis, and opinion on the Daily Friend website. That's dailyfriend.co.za. And guys, thank you so much for supporting the show. Remember, you can become a monthly contributor to the show. It's only a 90 rand contribution every month. Three or four cups of coffee that you spend in a month, and it's that money that allows us to produce the content and to get the message out into the public. And how do you do that, you're wondering? Well, you can find us online by either signing up a debit order at www.irr.org.za. Or alternatively, you can SMS your name to 32823 and you can become a monthly contributor to the Daily Friend. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you, or you'll hear from us, on Wednesday.